We are back with another episode of Go Blue with Stu. I am Stuart Douglas. We have with us once again, everyone knows him, Ant Wright. Ant, what's up?
Hey, what's up, man?
How we doing?
Good. Good. Excited to be here, Stu.
Yeah, it's always fun. I like this reoccurring thing. And I'm like, who am I going to talk Michigan with? Ant.
Easy. Locker room buds. Locker buds.
Exactly. Yeah, people don't know that. We literally, this was how we were in the locker room.
Yep.
We're looking at right now, next to each other.
Pretty much.
Yeah, snickering during video. Because Petey said something funny.
Because B-Line's watching the same clip for 20 minutes.
Yeah. See, you're jealous because
37 degrees in the wrong direction.
Oh man, especially your years with B-Line were like the most cliche because that was his beginning.
Yeah.
So you caught all of that like culture change stuff, and then after that, I think they just like they chilled out a little bit.
Yeah, he was very just to the book. I'm like, oh, brother.
Yeah, you had to be. That was hilarious. All right, Michigan trounced Michigan State and then came around at home last night against Iowa. And, like, they weren't anywhere near close to having any control in the game. Like, what – I am not shocked by these things because it's Jekyll and Hyde with this team, but – what was it last night that you saw?
I saw Fran McCaffrey had a really basic plan, and Michigan couldn't really counter. You know, they did a great job at – they doubled Hunter at the right times. They doubled him, forcing him to his right. And then they watched a lot of film where – they knew where he likes to pass out of the double team, and they took those away because he threw the ball straight to Iowa defenders like two or three times.
Yeah, in a row.
Because he just knew because they knew exactly where he was going with the ball. And then on the other end, they did a really, really good job taking full advantage of the two small forwards basically at the four and the five. And then they were picking on matchups all day. And when you're not letting Hunter dominate a small forward on the offensive end, that you're in trouble on the other end because now you have the 7-1, 7-2 cat having to guard these, like, small forwards who could dribble the ball, shoot it, score at three levels. And Iowa just abused that all game, and Michigan could never let the mismatch go in their favor. Because there's a mismatch both ways, right?
Yeah.
Because Hunter's got the size offensively, but if those two things neutralize out, then Hunter's going to be, you know, basically, you know, in trouble on the other end. He's just running around the perimeter acting, you know, nuts, so.
Yeah, I mean, I felt bad for Hunter at one point. He was like, he defended Bohannon really well on the perimeter and still hit that shot. Like, it was a centimeter he got past Hunter's hand, and it went in. And I was like, today is not Michigan's day.
Yeah.
They started out, like, Keegan hit, what, three threes in the first, like, 4 or 5 minutes or something. Yeah. And then I just, like, this is not going well because Musick went at Keegan last game. And Keegan's like, I'm not having it. Like, I'm not doing that again. We're not repeating that today. Like, I'm too good for this. And he came out hot. I mean, he didn't score too much after that until the second half. But yeah, they set the tone early. And Michigan just had a, it seemed like they had a plan about posting up again. And then didn't really stray away from it when it wasn't like going great. With the Michigan State game, Frankie came in, sparked a lot of attack and a lot of driving. And then last night it was like they were playing to not lose. And there was like, it was kind of a lot of like, you know, when you're like you're back on your heels and the balls and you're like, you're like, just go. Like, just go.
Look, I saw I'm like watching. I'm like, yo, Beeline would be rolling over right now, fainting on the sideline. Oh, if God. He saw a dude on the side doing this, he's like, no, that's how you get jammed. Don't do it.
Yes, don't yes, exactly. It. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. As soon as you lean back, he hated just it.
Walk up right into you and you can't run the offense. I thought Hunter was pretty passive too in that first half. Like he would catch the ball like at the Big Ten logo, and he wouldn't even like he would look to pass. I'm like, bro, they got small forwards in the game. Like that's where you eat. That's where you do your thing. They also had some pretty good play calls. With under four left, I think there was like it was like a 9-point game and. Like they put Musa in a really good position to like score the ball late and like right in front of the rim against a dude who's like 6'5".
Yeah,
that was kind of like the game. And I was like, yeah, okay, this is what happened.
I said the exact same thing. He missed the front end of that 1-on-1, and then they came down. I think scored, and then we came back down, and yeah, Musa missed that in the front. And it was like something else. We came back down and scored. And it was like, man, this could have been a 3-point game, like real quick.
Yes, real quick.
Yeah.
Real quick. And then it just like, after that, like the wheels just completely fell off.
Yeah.
Because they had multiple chances to cut the game down to 2 possessions. But like they didn't get up a shot like 3 or 4 times. Like you can't do that. Like you got to at least. At the very least, you should be running your offense at your best in the last 4 minutes.
Yeah.
And I think that they had decent plays called, but the execution was not very good.
I think they were tired. I think they were tired. There's a lot of times where, like, Eli was hot, and they were trying to run Eli off of a lot of screens, just kind of run him around on the bottom and, you know, having blockers and movers on the blocks. And, like, Hunter just wouldn't set a screen. He just wouldn't. He just stood there. And, you know, like, he's never like in a stance. Yeah. But he's always like standing up tall. He looks like Ben Roethlisberger, you know, but you know, he's tired when he's like, he sets a screen and he just kind of like moves a little bit and he's like, nah, whatever, I'll post up. And I'm like, dude, it must be tired.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah. You know, like they had a game on what? They had a game on Tuesday.
Yeah.
The game Tuesday, and then when was the other? What's their schedule been?
Was it Friday, Tuesday, Thursday, or Saturday?
A few days before that. I mean, they've had a lot of, but like
Sunday,
yeah,
Tuesday, Thursday. It's too much.
Yeah, and then they got the Big Ten tournament next week.
Yeah.
You know, and that's something where like they have to do well. And I think that I think Michigan has like a streak right now going. Like they haven't lost the opening game of the Big Ten tournament and, like before I was there. Like this streak has been going for a long, long time.
Yeah, we always seem to, we always won one, and then we were like, that's enough. That's fine.
We're okay.
We don't care about the Big Ten championship. Like, let's just go to the tournament. At that point, you're like, all right, we got that tune-up game against Iowa, and we beat them. Like, that was
played Iowa
first. It was always Iowa.
I played Iowa first every single year.
It was so
every
annoying.
Single year played Iowa first.
But I loved it because I knew we were gonna win.
Exactly. Who's your boy? Licklider, bro.
Dude, Licklider. I play with his brother here down in downtown Y at Indy. I just saw him over the other day at a bar.
Nice.
Oh yeah, they still got their tentacles in Indy. I don't know Young where Ty. I don't know where he's at.
Young Ty Licklider.
He used to terrorize me. His son. The kid, I don't know if you remember him there, but he used to terrorize me in basketball camps growing up.
Todd
Licklider. So this is why I found it weird why Frankie didn't play last night. Now I had someone in my mentions say, you know, Devontae just been kind of getting attacked because of the slow start, and he's the point guard and everyone wanted him to come out hot. Like, you know, whatever. We all talked about that.
They thought that he was Trey Burke. And,
yeah. And yeah, whatever. And he's been great since the COVID break, like amazing. And so like people still have this hangover from the beginning of the season. And someone's like, well, you know, the one time Frankie, not one time, but Frankie did really well against Michigan State, attacking like super well, super aggressive. It was in the flow of things.
Yeah.
And Devontae is the point guard, I think, for the end of any game. But then you turn around, you don't play Frankie when you've, this is your now third game in what, 5 days? Well, yeah. I don't understand that decision.
Yeah, I don't either. And I don't think it's a senior thing, because some seniors didn't play on senior night.
Yeah.
Which is like, when's the last time you saw that? I don't think I've ever seen that. Where like seniors just straight up did not play. Also, Todd is at Evansville, by the way.
Is he?
He's coaching there at Evansville.
Assistant or head coach?
I think he's head coach. He's head coach.
Wow, nice.
So the thing with Frankie, what he did against Michigan State, like he came in, like that was the perfect backup role, right?
Perfect.
People were like, people saw 4 assists and 2 steals. Why isn't he starting over Devontae and playing under the?
Because it's in the backup role right now, like.
Right, like he played his backup role perfectly.
Yeah.
Like perfectly, he came in when the starter went down. He's been, I'd say, Devontae after Hunter has been the most important player since the COVID pause. And yes, he's willed them to multiple wins. And
100%.
And so it is baffling though, because that's what, your third game in 5 days, third game in 6 days.
Yeah, you got it.
I think that
it's gotta be quick.
Yeah, I think giving Devontae a little bit of rest, because he's also a bigger dude. He's 205, right?
That's a lot of weight. That's 20 more pounds than I carried.
Yes. Yeah. And you tried to get to 200, so, and you could never get there.
No, it's impossible. It's impossible.
You would eat a steak and lose like 10 pounds.
Yeah.
And be like, what the heck, dude? Like, hey, man.
My before and after, like my August picture and my March picture were like amazingly different. I was like, I'd be like muscly in August, and then March came around, I'm like 10 pounds less.
You're
like,
just rail thin. Yeah. Like see your ribs.
What happened? Were you sick all year? No, I wasn't.
It's like, are they feeding you? Mm-hmm. Nancy's calling coach. What are you doing with my son? Feeding him laxatives? No, Devontae's a bigger dude. So when you're a bigger dude, like you need more of a breather. Like I kind of compare that to someone like Kofi, right? Someone who's a bigger dude, like even though he's about 7% muscle, like because he's so much bigger, like he builds up that lactic acid so much more.
Yep.
And it kills you towards the end of games.
Well, even then, yeah, like your lactic acid buildup after three games in 5 days, like you could tell Devontae was tired on defense. He was like more like hunched over sometimes and not in a stance. Yeah. And like that one kid, 11, like what, Toussaint, was like getting some things on him that it's not normal.
Yeah.
So I don't know. And that's how you get guys hurt too. That's another thing. It's like, yeah, I know you have to tighten up the rotation, but there's a bigger picture.
Yeah, and you can't finish. Like, you expect Devontae to play his best basketball when he's played, what, like 30 minutes already?
Because he is the finisher. He's the guy that has the ball in his hands at the end. Like, yeah, Hunter does, but, like, it's Devontae's under 2 minutes.
Yeah, exactly. I just had something, and I just lost it. And then you have, like, guys like Toussaint come in the game who play like 15, 20 minutes.
Yeah.
They're just fresh going after him. They're just fresh. And I was really surprised, because they've done a really good job in the last couple games, especially the last few games, where they would play Frankie Collins a few minutes per half, right? To give both Eli and Devontae a rest in each half for 2 to 3 minutes.
Yes. Yep.
And they didn't do that. So like Frankie really hasn't played in three halves because he didn't play in the Michigan State second half either. When I thought Eli Brooks needed a breather at some point because he wasn't hitting, playing good defense against Max Christie. But I thought that was a good spot to get him a good 5-6 minutes of rest and get Frankie back in and go with a little like two point guard look.
This is the place you don't envy a coach. Like you were saying, hey, you got to adjust on the fly. And then we're also saying you got to have that plan in place for rest. And like, they didn't start out against Iowa great. So that whole substitution pattern probably in Phil's mind was like, nope, got to keep our starters in, which I get. Yeah. I get that to a degree, and again, big picture. So we're critiquing a thing where we're telling Phil he has to keep 8 things in his mind at one time, which is not easy. But damn, Frankie should have played more.
Right, and then like yeah, I get it. You get down that much early.
Oh,
you get like a sense of panic, right?
Oh, for sure.
You're like,
I don't care who you are,
abandoning the sub patterns. You're like, oh crap, if I sub now, this 12 can get to 25 and game over.
Only Eric Spoelstra and the Heat would keep their rotations. LeBron comes out after 8 minutes in the first quarter, even though they're down 20. Like only that team would do it. Every other coach in the world, yeah, that's panic.
Spo, dude, top 3 coach of the league, bro.
Dude, easy. I always said, so what year was it? I don't know. Smotrich came in, right? It was my junior year or something. Bielan was always like trying to get me to be like the sixth man because he liked it. And he's like, you know, it was like a big deal because Smotrich was, you know, he would be a baby if he wasn't playing. So like we started him, but I always, always came in at 16 minutes every single time for him. Like he knew he was coming out for 4 minutes. Like it didn't make sense for him to start anymore. But like I loved it because then it's 4 minutes of like guys being a little extra tired. I always said like, I'll sit out the first few minutes, even overseas, like, cause everyone's super intense at the beginning and you're not getting much. And I'm like, get guys a little tired. I'll come in and like, or even get the second rotation guys. Cause they're worse. Like I will wait. And as long as I play 30 plus minutes, I'm fine. Like I'll sit out those first 5-6. I don't care. I don't know why guys don't like it more.
I'm telling you, man. Cause like, people kill me, dog. They kill me. You have fans like, why is he starting? You should start. I'm like, that doesn't even matter.
Starting doesn't really matter like that.
It doesn't matter unless your team has really doo-doo starts in the first 3 minutes.
Yeah.
Then it matters. Yeah. But if you have half decent starts, like, and you're playing 30 minutes and you're coming off the, if anything, you would rather come off because you could see how the game is being played. You could see what the other team wants to do. So now you're coming in the game with not only scouting information, but you've seen their top 2 or 3 concepts that they're trying to get to.
Yep. You
see who they want to attack.
Yep.
You see how they want to D up. And so now you have that in your brain. You see the game. Now you're in. Now you're even more prepared, you know, and you don't get that first like 90-second energy rush right at your face. Especially with you, because you're like a super laid back dude. And so am I. Like, I'm not into that.
No. Stuff. Like, we'll play hard, but like, I'm not ready to like ram you head to head. That was Novak's forte. Like, I was like, all right, let's.
Yeah, like all these like closeouts, breathing hard. We're in here. Like, that's, you know.
The crowd is like died down a little bit after 5 minutes, and that's always nice. Yeah, right. I always liked it because, yeah, like you said, I could look at how they were defending us, and then because I had to go out in the court and call plays because you know, the two guard was like going to be the one that if in the right leadership position was calling plays, because the point guard, especially with a guy like Trey, where Trey just does what Trey does. So right. I was like, yeah, I'll sit out for two. I'm fine. I'll do that all day. Okay, let's look forward tournament talk. What are we looking like? Where is Michigan at KenPom? Do we know? Look that up. I didn't look that up after last night.
Let's see. I'll check KenPom, then I'll check the net.
Okay.
Michigan is 34 on KenPom. On the net, they are 32. So they haven't. I don't think this is updated. It's not updated on the net yet.
Okay.
Because they are 16 and 13, and shows of 16 and 12 right now.
Gotcha. So,
but still, they're like in the 30s for both, for sure.
What scenario do they not get in? Two SmackDown.
You lose the next two. You lose.
Is it just lose? Do they have to get SmackDown? Like, what's the deal?
I mean, I think if they lose the next two, they're not in. They're not going to get in at 16 and 15. Ain't no way.
That's a very good point.
Ain't no way.
Yeah.
People are like, well, they don't have to win out if they just. I'm like, and then you hear 16 and 15, then it's like, oh yeah, no, not a chance. You can't lose to Indiana because I'm pretty sure it's basically like locked down that they're going to play Indiana in the 8-9 game.
Oh,
you cannot lose to IU.
No, absolutely not.
Cannot lose to IU. And IU is playing for their tournament life. And that's what sucks.
I doubly need this because I obviously live in Indiana and I've been telling everyone that IU is not going to make the tournament. So I need this. Like,
you need this for your narrative.
I've been saying it since February, like, 2nd. I looked back at my text and I was like, I'm gonna blast this out when it happens.
So they play Ohio State. Ohio State played a really good game against Michigan State, but they did lose the two previous games to Maryland and Nebraska. They lost to Nebraska at home.
Yeah, so they're a bit of Jekyll Hyde like Michigan too.
Yeah, so it's like, you know, who are you gonna get?
They
so
lost at home to Nebraska, right?
They lost at home. Yeah, Bryce McGowan went off. He had like 27, I think. Or 26.
I mean, I would never want to play that kid. He doesn't care. Like,
he does not care. He's so like, he's like the guard version of Keegan Murray.
Yeah.
You know, just long arms, peanut head, and just can go wherever he wants.
Isn't it funny in college basketball when you get enough experience, like, you know when guys are going to attack.
Yes.
You're like, cause you just feel it. You just know exactly what's going on, or like, nah, not the right time of the offense. But with like Bryce McGowan, it's, you are on high alert. It's like playing Taylor Battle. You're like, this is all I do. Constant. Now. I guarded Constant Taylor. And like, I was like, I'm not shooting today because I have to guard Taylor, you know? And like, yes. Those guys are the worst. Cause you don't know what's going to happen. The other guys, yes. You can like plan for it. Even a lot of scores, even like Evan Turner, or let's say like Jordan Taylor for Wisconsin. That's a good example. Those guys, you're like, all right, they're going to come up. It's going to be 10, 15 seconds of nothing. And then they're going to get in a ball screen.
Yeah.
And Jordan was still really good at that. But a guy like Bryce is like, it'll be over in the right corner. It'll be the left wing. It'll be the top of the key. He might hit a hook shot. You don't know. It's like that. That's
28 seconds on the clock.
28 seconds on the clock.
It doesn't matter, bro. He's coming at your neck.
Good luck.
Coming at your neck.
But yeah, okay. So they got issues, man. I just don't understand how Ohio State even wins games. I look at their roster, and it seems odd. Like, they got, like, they do have solid guys, but then they're just ripe for like, for losing. For like,
I mean,
like,
they've got
like an easy, they're like ripe to get an easy win against. I don't know why I think that.
Yeah, like they've got two legit pros. They got Malachi Branham and they've got EJ Liddell.
So they do, which is that's a big deal.
That's a huge deal because when things break down, and these are different than like your pro big, because if you have two perimeter type pros, you have one who's kind of bigger, and then you have Malachi Branham, who's more of a guard. Then you have a tweener. When you have guys like that, like, they could hit you at all over the court, whether they catch the ball down low, from mid, from 30 feet, it doesn't matter. Like, they can still find a way to get off a shot without needing an extra screener, bringing in an extra defender. So when things break down for them, like, I don't think they're very good this year, but those two guys are the equalizer to all the bad that they are.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, and they didn't have Zed Key or Kyle Young, and they still controlled that entire Michigan State game, which is absolutely insane.
Oh, they didn't? Why didn't they?
Zed Key had a foot thing. Kyle Young, I believe, was sick. So that's their third and fourth score.
Are they going to be there Sunday?
Kyle Young, probably. Not sure about Key, because Key was in a boot during the game.
All right. So quick, what do you foresee on Sunday, this matchup? The last game was, I just found it very odd what happened. I don't even know how to break it down. But I feel like it's going to be a very different game than it was the first time.
I compare that game to the Rutgers game at home. Both games were super similar, where neither team came out with, like, you know how, like, okay, so, like, Ohio State came out against Michigan State and went up 11-0, and they were just hype, and they were just busting their ass, right? They're like, yeah. You know those games, right, where you're just getting overwhelmed. That didn't happen in the Rutgers. That, like, Iowa, right? They came out like, we gonna style on you, right?
Yeah.
That didn't happen at Rutgers and Ohio State, where both teams were kind of feeling each other out, and neither team wanted to make that leap. And it was whoever made the first run was going to win the game. And that's what happened in both Ohio State and the Rutgers game. In Ohio State made a little run in the second half, went up by 10. That was game. In the Rutgers-Michigan game, Michigan went on a little run. That was the game. This game coming up, I think Michigan has a shot here, because they didn't come into this game playing well. They came into this, and then Joey Brunk was like, he was like an all-star. He had, well, like 18 and like 8 or something against Michigan State, and he had like 30 points coming into the game.
What?
You didn't know that? Joey Brunk went off against Bingham and Marble.
Hey, I said it. I've watched him in Indy. I've worked out with him. He has that talent.
Yeah. Well, like, pretty much everybody does. It's just a matter of
It's at the big spot, it's a little different.
Because he had footwork. Okay, he had 18-6 and 2 steals.
That's wild. He's 24 years old. He averages 2 points a game, and he had 18-6 in a starting role from 32 minutes. That's hilarious.
Like, they were feeding him in ISOs.
Dude,
like, this wasn't like garbage around the basket. Like, they've been waiting him for that. The whole crowd just starts going nuts. And EJ Liddell is like at the top of the key, like, kill him, kill him. And he hit him with like some like good post moves, looking like Chris Kamen, bro.
I hope they try and do that again and just have him go at Hunter. That'd be hilarious.
he might get humbled.
Or he just turns around and turns this into a pro career. Who knows? All right. I just noticed this. 12:30 on a Sunday, 12:30 p.m. on a Sunday at Value City Arena is like the seventh ring of hell for me. I hated that game. I hated 12:30 games. And I hated waking up anywhere that was in Ann Arbor at about 7 a.m. And you're like, you got to play in 5 hours. And then it's just, I don't know why. I hate afternoon games. And so this was
8 a.m. shoot around.
Yeah. Like, I'm not working on anything in this shoot around. Let me sleep. Yeah. So that, I don't know how these guys will react, but hey, they'll get 2 days rest. It'll be interesting to watch. And they'll be in the Big Ten tournament talking about how they need to beat IU. But
They got embarrassed last night, and I think they're going to come out pretty good.
Yeah.
We'll see how Ohio State comes out, but Ohio State's been slacking lately. So they can catch them. Like, just how, like, you don't like the 12:30 joints, like, that could be them too.
Yeah.
You know?
I bet that could be I could see demo. Holtman, like, you know how coaches use motivation, and sometimes it backfires. So, like, he's probably came out and was like, hey, we got a game at home. We can't drop this against Michigan State. You guys are on the bubble if you guys lose out the rest of the way. So they came out hyped and they win. And then, like, they know they're in now. Like, easy, easy. Even though they weren't in the bubble. But you know how coaches do it. And so now I can see like a 10-point Michigan win. Just like crazy stuff that happens at the end because Michigan's hungry and Michigan and Ohio State's like, we're fine. We're not going to improve our seed.
And I don't know. It'll be interesting. And it's Michigan. So, like, you just expect those things to happen, which is super arrogant. But they win these games all the time.
No, it's
– and that's just what kind of scares me.
When you try to predict what they're going to do, it doesn't work. I don't know.
But I do feel like this is the biggest game of the year. Because if they don't win this game, they've got to win at least two. So you got to beat IU and Wisconsin to get to that next step. I'm not sure who the four seed would be. Believe it might be Iowa. Not going to lie. Might be Iowa as the four seed. And I wouldn't mind playing them on one day's rest.
Yeah.
Like, that's not a bad look. Indiana, Wisconsin, Iowa, all, you know, you beat two of those teams, and I say Wisconsin is the least scary out of Illinois and Purdue, right?
Yeah. I would say that, depending on how professional Johnny Davis feels that day. He's unbelievable. But yeah, I would say overall,
14 seed, bro. They're gonna lose to a 14 or a 15 seed.
Easy. They got, I mean, I'm not gonna try and be mean, but I, like, they got kids out there for Wisconsin where I'm like, why are you giving him the ball? Why is he touching it? I don't understand. It's
they're not getting out the first weekend. Ain't no way, right?
That's the MO, dude. And like Purdue as well. It's gonna be like Illinois looking like crap going into the tournament, and then they're going to be in the Elite Eight. Like, that's what's going to happen.
Oh, don't do it, because their fans would be absolutely miserable. Oh.
They have all the guard play and talent. There's going to be like five different guys score 20 throughout the tournament. Like, that's what they're, and then they're going to be in the Elite Eight. Like, it's going to happen. All right, and I got to get out of here. That'll wrap it up. Appreciate you. We'll have to talk more during that Big Ten tournament, and I mean, you're just now a staple on the show, so to get used to it.
I like you.
Later, dog.
I'm going.
Later.